Jagadanandan Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Srila Prabhupada ki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Verses 3, 4, and 5.
Sva Pada Mule Patitam Tam Arbhakam Vilokya Deva Upaya Pariputa Utapya Tachchirshnya Adadhat Karambujam Kalahi Vitrashta Dhiyam Kutabhayam Swapadamule Patitam Tamarvakam Vilokya Deva Upaya Pariputa Uttapya Tachchishnya Adadat Karambujam Kalahi Vitrashta Diyam Kritabhayam Swapadamule Patitam Tamarbakam Vilokya Deva Kripaya Pariputa Utapya Tachchishnya Dadat Karambujam Kalahi Vitrashta Diyam Kritabhayam Swapadamule Patitam Tamarbakam Vilokya Deva Kripaya Pariputa Utapya Tachchishnaya Dadat Karambujam Kalahi Vitrashta Diyam Kritabhyam Prabhujis Padamule Patitam Tamarvakam Vilokya Deva Kripaya Paliputa Matramdujam Lahi Vitrastadiyam Kritabhayam Mule Patitam Tamarvakam Vilokya Deva Kripaya Paliputa Kutapyatas Chishnaya Dadat Karambujam Kalahi Vitrashta Diyam Kritabhayam Svapadamule Patitam Tamarvakam Vilokya Deva Kripaya Pariputa Kutapyatas Chishnaya Dadat Karambujam Kalahi Vitrashta Diyam Kritabhayam Svapadamule Patitam Tamarvakam Vilokya Deva Kripaya Pariputa उतप्यतश्चेष्णाधादत्करं भुजाम् कालाय वित्रस्तधियं कृताभयम् स्वपादमूले पतितं तमार्भकम् चरं भुजम् स्वपादमूले पतितं तमार्भकम् कृपया परिप्लुता स्नेहदादत्करं भुजाम् कलाहि वित्रस्तधियं कृताभयम् स्वपादमूले पतितं तमार्भकम् नदादत्करं भुजम् कलाय वित्रस्तधियं कृताभयम् स्वपादमूले
at his lotus feet patitam fallen tam him Prahlad Maharaj arbhakam only a little boy vilokya seeing deva Lord Nrsimhadev kripaya out of his causeless mercy Pariputa, very much afflicted in ecstasy. Utapya, raising. Tatkalahi, of the deadly snake of time which can cause immediate death. Vitrasta, afraid. Dhyam, to all of those whose minds. Krita abhayam, which causes fearlessness. I'll just read the translation for verses 3, 4, and then 5, which we just did the Sanskrit for. Text 3. Thereafter, Lord Brahma requested Prahlad Maharaj, who was standing very near him, My dear son, Lord Nrsimhadev is extremely angry at your demoniac father. Please go forward and appease the Lord. Text 4. Narada Muni continued, O King, although the exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj was only a little boy, he accepted Lord Brahma's words. He gradually proceeded toward Lord Nrsimhadev and fell down to offer his respectful obeisances with folded hands. Text 5. When Lord Nrsimhadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The necessities of the material world are four: ahara, mudra, bhaya, and maituna, eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. In this material world, everyone is in fearful consciousness, sada samudvigna dhiyam. And the only means to make everyone's fearlessness in Krishna, is Krishna consciousness. When Lord Nrsimhadev appeared, all the devotees became fearless. The devotee's hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Lord Nrsimhadev, Yato Yato Yamitato Nrsimha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Nrsimhadev. Thus, there will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord. Omagyana Timurandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Jaina Tasmani Sri Guru Vayamaha. So, today is the first time that I've been asked to give class in English. Although I have given class before, but to the Russian devotees. And that's easier because you have space in between the translation to think about what to say. So forgive me if I stumble a little bit. I've made some notes. Hopefully I can make some sense. Yesterday, I'm not sure who's more nervous, myself or the boys, for me or for themselves, because yesterday in assembly at the school we were joking that if I get stuck, I'll ask them to speak. So they're feeling a little nervous, and I'm not sure yet, depends. The first thing that came to mind when I was reading, sometimes we may read Srimad Bhagavatam and our mind goes into a spiritual platform, and then we stop reading, we put the book down, and it carries with us for some moments, some hours maybe, and then we get back into our life, whether it's management or some other services or family life, and we forget that the instructions of the Bhagavatam are directly applicable at any moment in time, whether it's simply spiritual inspiration, whether it's the wonderful stories that are in the Bhagavatam, whether it's the metaphysical approach, how we can apply the message of the Bhagavatam in our lives, or even the answers to the problems that we face, either as a society or as individuals. So the most wonderful thing is right in front of us, very simply presented, very perfectly presented, and I think that the more often we meditate on that, the easier it will be to realize that. Srila Prabhupada has created such a simple yet powerful program. And I was thinking we have the morning Mangalarti, japa, that we're greeting the deities, and then class. And basically what he's given us the opportunity to is every day to check our lives. Every day. What did we do yesterday? What will we do today? Is it in line with the instructions of the Lord? Is it in line with the instructions of the acharyas and the pure devotees? So that was some thoughts that I had, you know, before I thought to comment or bring up some other aspects that we find in the verses. We understand that there's no material solution for a material problem, or a material solution definitely for a spiritual problem. So if we take to the study of the Bhagavatam in such a way to solve our problems, instead of, not everybody, definitely myself on occasion, instead of reading it as a duty or as a spiritual process, if we take it as the solution, then we will be much more successful in our lives. Right now the boys are studying, they've just begun, some boys, the Masters of Divinity, which is the course on the detailed study of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's the first six cantos, am I correct? The first six cantos are long on here, and second to give some thought, some realization that they've had on how the Bhagavatam has been applicable to their lives as students. They read the Bhagavatam, they're writing essays, and we've asked, when we ask them to write the essays are written how it's applicable in what they're doing. Some of them are group leaders, some of them are managing the school. So maybe someone would like to say something. Gopal, you'll say? Now I have space to think.
When we write our essays, we are expected to write our personal updates. So, not just give your thoughts and philosophical analysis of what is being said and told, but also you have to think how to apply in your life. Specifically, generally, but at least in my opinion, it's most to do with the way I deal with people. So it's mainly based on relationship. So whenever a point comes up of how of culture, I deal with people, I deal with devotees, that only generally strikes me as something I should improve on. So like, this is one personal application there. So the bottom of it is the culture, how we should deal with each other, how we should deal with their secret communities.
thank you. So the point Gopal's making, it comes out actually in these verses as well. In verse 3 we hear that thereafter Lord Brahma requested Prahlad Maharaj, who was standing very near him, "My dear son, Lord Nrsingadev is extremely angry at your demoniac father. Please go forward and appease the Lord." So we see here, and we hear all throughout the Shastras, throughout the various stories of the Lord and the devotees, that anger is a transcendental emotion. Anger in the modern world sometimes is seen as something dirty or bad. Oh, you shouldn't be so angry. Or why are you getting angry? But we see throughout all of the instructions given, and even in our own, we've heard stories from our seniors, Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Srila Prabhupada many times manifested transcendental anger. Now the anger, when it's manifested by the Lord or by His pure devotees, is for our utmost upliftment and benefit. But we have to be in the right state of mind to accept that anger. Many times the difference between making progress, moving forward or moving back, is simply to do with the state of our mind. We can have a great day and someone can say something to us in a little angry mood, and we've maybe just walked out of class and we can contemplate and yes, okay, how to apply. Or the next day we can have a similar interaction. Oh, how dare they speak to me like that? What did I didn't do anything wrong? Or who does my... and we can take it a step further. Who does my guru think he is? Why is he getting angry at me? So we see Lord Nrsingadev is extremely angry. You don't get angrier than him at that moment. But the Lord manifests that anger for his pastimes, and he manifests that anger for the benefit of Hiranyakashipu. If he didn't get angry, then Hiranyakashipu, I guess, he wouldn't have been killed. You have to get angry to kill somebody. And the Lord manifested that transcendental anger. And of course, then we see the right approach when the Lord or His pure devotees is angry, and which is ultimate humility. So the anger, we should try to understand and try to see that it can be used in Krishna's service. All of our mundane emotions, or let's say not mundane, impure, because obviously I'm not a pure devotee, and I do get angry sometimes, quite a lot. No, sorry. I do get angry, and that anger can be purified when it's used according to our nature in the service of the Lord and in the service of devotees. Whether it's to protect devotees, to protect the dham, to protect the deities, whether it's to correct atheists or an atheistic mentality, or should be diverted and directed toward the proper path. Now how do we know? How can we understand the state of our emotion? We have the Bhagavatam, as I was mentioning in the beginning. If we keep in mind that the Srimad Bhagavatam is there for the benefit, our benefit, to make progress on the path of devotional service, we can understand how to analyze our thoughts, our feelings, and apply those in the correct method, the correct path forward. Generally, we always judge, there's a saying in English, you can't judge a book by its cover. But the tendency is that we judge, the first thing we do is judge a book by its cover. Whether it's another human being, another devotee, whether it's the dham, we can't put our mundane vision onto things that are transcendent. We see sometimes on our community forums that people are commenting on the dham, it's becoming so busy, there's so many guests, or so many Bengalis are coming and they just come to holiday, or the dham is so dirty, or so... But we have to try to remember that the dham is always transcendent. What is mundane and what is dirty is the way we look at it. And the same applies to other devotees, other situations. If we try to have the vision of the Srimad Bhagavatam, of the Shastras, and we look at things through that vision, then things become transcendent. When we see things in a transcendent way, then we can also become transcendent, which is the whole purpose. Although there's no purport to these verses, a friend of mine suggested that I hear some lessons, some class by Srila Prabhupada on these texts. And fortunately, or funnily enough, verses 3, 4 and 5, and probably the series before and after, were given by Srila Prabhupada here in Mayapur in 76 and 77. In his commentary on the third verse, Srila Prabhupada brings out a very, very important point. That devotion, bhakti, he says, is not dependent on age. Bhakti depends on sincerity. Prahlad Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada brings that as well, that it seems a dichotomy. That here you have a five-year-old, and the word he uses, I think, Chaitanya, please correct me, the Sanskrit, arbhakam, foolish. Could be foolish. A child, generally a five-year-old child, is not seen as, you know, a great advanced soul, although we see in our society and community many young children who are quite amazing. But generally it's not consistent. But at the same time, Prahlad Maharaj is a Mahabhagavat. So we can understand that it's our responsibility and duty to try to make our children into Mahabhagavats. I was having a discussion with His Holiness Shivram Swami some time back, and Maharaj was commenting that in our devotee society we have devotees who have committed their lives to Krishna consciousness from a young age. They've done all the tapasya. They've joined the temple. They've gone through probably dozens of different varieties of temple presidents, and they've distributed books for decades. But when it comes to their children, then all of a sudden they become like different people. But the instruction is clear. Even Prahlad Maharaj, he gives us instruction. Brahmachari Gurukule, you can finish. He gives the process by which we can try to make our children into Mahabhagavats. And it's not that in the society, in ISKCON society, when we've made the effort to establish the proper method of training as desired by Srila Prabhupada, and again in his commentary on the fifth verse, he outlines the same. That we've made mistakes or we've failed in that we stop trying. Because, again, the famous saying, the future belongs to the children. Now, if the children are not equipped to deal with the difficulties that arise from conditioned life, if they're not equipped to understand how will they make progress and lead the society forward, it'll be very, very difficult. So Prahlad Maharaj, we see, is 5 years old, and already, although, and His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Purna Swami, who actually would, I'm sure, prefer to be hearing today, is his normal day. He makes the comment, and I never thought about this before, that Prahlad Maharaj is still a child. He's 5 years old. So he plays, he runs around, he jokes with his friends, but his consciousness is always on the state of Nitya Siddha, the Mahabhagavat. Everything he does is, even the games that he plays, is connected to the Lord. Not to connect it to some other mundane samskara, which as parents becomes our responsibility to try not to give. In the fourth text, we see what is being brought out primarily is fearlessness and surrender. Krishnaika saranam means surrender only to the Lord, nothing else. It's a primary quality that we're trying to develop first and foremost. And fearlessness is a result of that surrender. We did a little litmus test. For example, I was thinking about this verse and giving the class, and I was getting nervous. And I realized that I'm not surrendered in many, many areas, but particularly in that area. Some desire for the class to go very well and everybody to be happy. Oh wow, nice class. Fear that it won't go well, that I'll get stuck, will not have something to say. So to that degree that we're surrendered to the Lord, to that degree we can be fearless. Then on the inverse, wherever we have fear in our lives, and Srila Prabhupada, he comments in his purport on the fifth, everybody's fearful. To try to control and enjoy the material world is against our nature. Our nature is Jiva Swarup Hoye Krishna Nitya Das. It's the Lord's arrangement.
get some, off to do some high service, okay, the Lord's arrangement. We get thrown out on the street by the institution, Lord's arrangement. If we try to see His hand, then there is no fear. It's a thought that that's been ringing in my head for all week. Unfortunately, only all week. I should try to maybe tattoo it on my hand or something. But when we see it like that, things become easy. Things become smooth. It's only due to our frustration at trying to control and enjoy matter that we become fearful. I do some service in management. We rarely sit and discuss what is the solution from Bhagavatam about this problem. If we did that more often, I'm sure we would have more success.
Many things that you require to make the progress in your spiritual life. And you mentioned some solutions, but I like not to that someone tells, because I say sometimes we criticize each other, this and that, and when you come and commence to the work, that's how I should find the problem. But how are you to like do some of the realizations on that aspect that before you went on is very important? And how to see that, because you have been in some body. So how to make progress, you know, even like you the most of that.
I don't know about realizations, but I can say something. There's no hope for making progress in spiritual path if we make offenses against devotees. So, like, it's a full stop. There's no question about it. So the first thing we have to do is be aware of our mind. Because from our mind, our words come, our actions come. So if we don't, you talked about integrity, but if we don't have the integrity to be introspective, to understand and stop and see what are my actions, what are my thoughts, and sometimes it's difficult, not sometimes, probably most of the time, either due to being everyone's busy, serving, working, running around, family life, student life, whatever it is, but we need to take a moment and stop. We have to have that introspective button. That if we hear something, we read something, we see something, we need to stop and think. Only by understanding or at least seeing our actions can we start. And if we don't have the humility to then, and honesty, again we talk about some kind of integrity, the humility and honesty to say that yeah, this is a problem. And admit that. There's no question, again, of making progress. Because unless we admit our faults, unless we see our faults and then admit them rather, do we stop and think, this is a dambasi. We go through our lives sometimes like zombies, like robots. So we have to stop and be aware. And be aware. Everything is about that, to become aware of who we are. Is that, it's not a magic solution, I'm charged, but there's some thoughts anyway. Well, there is a magic solution actually. It's called surrender to God, but, that can be as easy as we want or as hard as we want to make it. And certainly committing offenses against the devotee makes it very, very difficult. Very difficult. Impossible for the mercy to flow. Impossible. Is there any other question or comment? The boys are helping me pass the time. They're asking the question. I think, okay, I'm just hoping not to get any complicated ones. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, I don't know. Well, faith is something we develop by seeing result, either in others or in ourselves. So we hear so many instructions, we hear so many stories, then we start developing an interest. Oh, there may be something there. Then we take association of devotees and we see this devotee is following the process. It seems to work. Then we start doing a little bit. We get some result. And then the faith develops like that. The faith develops by result. Why do we have faith that when we get in that 747 that it's going to take off? It seems impossible. Hundreds of tons of metal and it's just floating around in the space. We saw. I'm sure the first person, you know, at least in the mundane sphere, who figured out how to, you know, get a bunch of metal and wood and whatever to take off was, you know, it was a big leap of faith. I guess it would be on the largest platform. The faith in devotees, the faith in the Lord. It's just fully matured at that stage. But it has to be constantly nourished by a proper association. And that's why we have to guard our association very carefully. I was speaking with Niranjan Swami in Kazakhstan, having some difficulties. And he was explaining that in a society as big as ours, with people from so many different backgrounds, so many different cultures and moods and approaches, we have to be very careful to guard our association. Because it's very easy for that faith to be disturbed, especially at the Kanishtha and the Kanishtha platform, on the immature stage or state. So, is that... Yeah? Any other questions? Oh, look, here we go. Mahatma Prabhu? Please don't. Okay, thank you.
Have any permission to be with Shimabhad? In Los Angeles, is where the entire devotee was meeting place. Later, there was another association that was closely associated, and he was learning about Krishna consciousness. And so, that's my mission of Prabhupada. So, he had to ask Prabhupada how to take his surrender. And Prabhupada's answer gives us the intention of surrender, because surrender is for us to keep surrender. So, we surrender is also a level we're trying to be on. So, Srila Prabhupada, how long since he surrendered, was it given? He explained that piece of that man. He said, if you accept Krishna as the Supreme Self, you're a servant. In other words, you now are not admitted, you follow his instructions as a servant. That reminded me of the initiation. Manish asked, who's Krishna? He's got to be your servant, okay, you can initiate tomorrow. So that means you're a servant. So I thought that was there. Snare, he's like, you have you may know that more Prabhupada is either they were Prabhupada is either because Prabhupada accepted the translation actively. And then they were reading that verse where he said, in her program, he said, to Krishna, he is going to be Krishna. So Prabhupada said, if I wanted to show that this is my philosophy, and the devotees were very young and they were saying, yeah, it's not your Krishna, it's your Krishna again.
I guess we have time for... is there any last question or comment? Yes? If you can have the mic in the front.
So, the girl has an eternal relationship with the temple. But if after the devotee passes away, He doesn't go to a lower Vrindavan. So, and then in his next time, he takes another guru. So, what will happen to the relationship?
Maybe it's the same guru. No. See, the guru tattva is from the Balaram, Nityananda. So, the guru, that's how we can understand that guru is one, actually. Because all guru, the guru tattva manifests from Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Balaram. So we may, who know, we may have, take birth again, but the mercy of the spiritual master remains consistent. We will get that mercy again. Now the technicalities of whether it's that soul, I don't think is important. More important is to understand that the mercy of Guru flows because of Nityananda Prabhu. So, once we do make it to Gokul and Goloka, then we serve with our spiritual master under his guidance or her guidance at that stage, I guess. So, you know, for Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, every activity we do will be in that, in his group. So there. And here we just have to keep praying to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. First of all, to manifest the mercy of Guru in our heart. To find that person who can help us cross the ocean. Once that mercy is flowing, as long as we don't commit Vaishnava Aparadha, it will keep flowing. And then the only way to make it flow, if we do commit, is to beg forgiveness at the feet of that person we've offended. Does that make some sense, Radhika? Is that okay? Thank you for your attention, and please forgive me if I've committed any offense in my words or actions. Śrīla Prabhupāda kī jāy, Pantarā śrīmad-bhāgavatam kī jāy, Kāy gaur śrīmad-bhāgavatam kī jāy.